All right, I want to continue our course here on evangelism. A couple more lessons. These are some just basic things before going out to consider, and when you go out, what to do, what to say, how to carry yourself. And we've already covered seven different gospel presentations you can use to try to lead somebody through the gospel story to Christ. But I want you to notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. I want to read this text, and I want to bring out a word to your attention. It says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." Don't live for yourself. Live for him who died for you and rose again. "Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more." In other words, our relationship to Christ now is a spiritual one, not a fleshly or a historical one. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Verses 14 through 17 tell us of God's great love for us, and how that we came to know Jesus Christ not after the flesh, but in the Spirit of God. We became new creatures in Christ Jesus, and we all live for him who died for us and rose again. And it says that God reconciled us unto himself, and then he turns the attention to us in verse 18, "and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." So everyone here has been given the ministry of reconciliation. Everybody here has been given the ministry of reconciliation. And it says then in verse 20, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God." Everybody needs to have one of these tonight, so if you don't have one, raise your hand up right now. And if you don't have one, way up there, okay? He has committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 18, verse 19, "hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." So we have the ministry of reconciliation, verse 18, and the word of reconciliation. And you know what that is? That's the gospel. That's the gospel. So God has left you on earth to share the gospel with others. And God has left me on earth to share the gospel with others. I was reading statistics today from the research, George Barna Research Foundation, that only 1 or 2% of those who profess to be born-again believers in Jesus Christ can claim that they have ever led another person to Christ. Now that is complete disobedience to this text right here. God has given us the ministry of reconciliation, verse 18, and the word of reconciliation, verse number 19. Are you trying to win people to Christ? We are ambassadors for Christ. It said that in the year 2000, there are 75% less missionaries going out of America than there were in 1950. There are 75% less missionaries going out of the United States of America in the year 2000 than there was in the year 1950. Now, what was the difference? In 1950, there was 2 billion people on earth. In the year 2000, there is 6 billion. And our country is sending out 75% less missionaries. Why? I think it's because we're just sitting around entertaining ourselves. Pastors have become entertainers. They're bringing in all kinds of rock groups to entertain people and to keep the troops entertained, and drama shows and little sermonettes, 12, 13, 14 minutes. And they're getting huge, huge crowds in these mega churches, but they're not churches. There's a difference between a crowd and church. Churches are people who are called out of the world to be a separate, peculiar, sanctified, holy people to go back into the world with the word of reconciliation and the ministry of reconciliation. And here's the word I want you to notice, verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Everyone in this room is an ambassador for Jesus Christ, a representative of Christ. What is an ambassador? An ambassador is a representative of a foreign country. It is an honor to hold this position. I have seen in my life people give up governorships, give up being senators in Washington, D.C., give up being representatives in Washington, D.C., give up being a governor of a state if a president calls on them and says, I would like you to be our ambassador to Scotland, to Egypt, to Russia, or whatever. This is considered one of the greatest honors that can be given to somebody in public service. And many of them have left elected offices to be ambassadors. And what they do is they go to a foreign country, and there they represent not only the United States of America, our nation, but they represent our president. And we are ambassadors for Christ. We are residents of a foreign country called heaven. And we have been left down here on earth to be personal representatives of Jesus Christ himself. Now that we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, as though God begged you through us, we pray you in Christ that be reconciled to God, be saved. This is what an ambassador for Christ does. He beseeches people on the behalf of God, be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. Turn to Ephesians chapter number 6, and then we'll get to the booklet. Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 19. As for me, that utterance, he's saying pray in verse 18. Pray for every saint you know. Everyone who knows Jesus Christ, pray for every saint you know. He says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. He says, I want you to pray for me. I want you to pray that God will just bust open doors for me and give me the opportunities to preach the gospel, to make known the mystery of the gospel, that utterance may be given unto me, that God would give me the words to say, pray for me that I can preach the gospel for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that I may speak boldly, that I may speak with confidence, knowing this is what God wants me to do. So I wanted to show you that word ambassadors. I don't know if you've ever noticed this. I have noticed this because of the biblical use of the word. But I've noticed that when we choose an ambassador, whether he's a man or a woman, to represent the President of the United States and to represent the United States of America itself as a country, I don't know if you've ever noticed ambassadors. They are sharp, first-class people that know exactly what they are represented. They know they actually speak on the behalf, in our day and age, of President Bush. This is what President Bush would want if they were at a different country. And they're first-class men and first-class women, and they carry themselves with an air of dignity about them, and there's a regalness about them. They are very, very sharp people. You don't send somebody over there who's a ornery or froward or stubborn or can't take care of himself or sloppy or whatever. So I want to encourage you to remember as you go out, we are ambassadors for Christ as men and women. Every one of us is an ambassador for Jesus Christ. We should be preaching the gospel. And so I want to get into this booklet now. And with that kind of spirit in mind, I wrote this booklet years ago on going out and on visitation and some of the things so that we can carry ourselves well. Let's look at the book. Return to page number one in this booklet called Visitation and Soul Winning Manual. This is an old booklet. It's been around here a long time. I believe I went over it once with our men and men's meeting a few years ago, but I don't know if I've gone over it with the whole church for a while. So we're going to cover about half of it tonight and some more next week, and then hopefully we'll incorporate these things. Now, before you go out, check your appearance. Check your appearance. Now, there's three things we want to encourage you to check. Is number one, your clothing. Your clothing. When fishing for men, try not to spook the fish. Now, if you walk up to a door with a three-piece suit and tie and with a big Bible under your arm, the person inside is likely to not open the door. I might want to circle the word not there, okay? I know I just talked about being ambassadors for our country and our president. I'm sure those guys all wear shirts and ties and suits and so on and so forth. Right? This is a little bit different when it comes to soul winning. But I am going to go on to say here we shouldn't dress like slobs either. But I think you see my point tonight. I think if you saw me, if you were an unsaved person and you saw me just like this tonight, walking up your driveway, I think you would probably start cutting down lights real quick and telling everybody to be quiet. Why? Because you know, you would know what my intentions were. And that's what would be like spooking the fish. Certainly when you go out fishing, I'm not a fisherman, but I understand you have to keep very quiet. And you can't be, you know, starting up your engine on your boat and expecting fish to hang around and so on. You can't spook the fish. When visiting, it is best to go casual to semi-formal. Men, a tie is not necessary for visitation, door-to-door or bus visitation. Now, this would be for our church. Maybe other churches have higher standards, and God bless them if they do. However, it is a good idea to wear a tie when you visit in a hospital. Pants should rest on the top of your shoes. Long-sleeved shirts should end where your hand begins. Ties should come down to your belt. All right. Now, the reason I put these in here is to avoid the presence of looking like a nerd. Okay? You know, people do look at our appearance. I mean, if we go out and our pants are like this and we're approaching the door, they're gonna think, you know what? They're gonna think this guy doesn't know how to dress. Now he's gonna tell me about eternity, you know, and how to get there. And if you have a shirt on and it's up like this high, and you're coming up with, you know, a shirt that high or something like that, they're gonna think, you know, this guy doesn't know how to dress and he's gonna tell me something. Unfortunately, we live in a country where appearance means so much to people. And you certainly don't want to have a tie, you know, that, well, my tie's fastened, but you don't want to have a tie that ends way up here somewhere. You know, it's supposed to come down if you are going out to the hospital or whatever. Or if you're making a visit that has been set up, you know, and let's say the people know you're coming over, is that okay to wear a tie then and really look sharp? But your tie should come down to your belt, and your pants should rest on your shoes, and your shirt should rest on the top of your hand. That's appearance. Ladies should strive to be modest at all times. Shirts and blouses should not be too tight, too sheer, or too revealing. Skirts should come past the knee and should also be loose-fitting. I want to encourage ladies here also, don't look frumpy, if you know what I mean by frumpy. Don't look frumpy as you go out visiting. Look first class, because if you look frumpy, they're just going to say, wow, some cult members come into my house right now. It's not wrong to look first class and, you know, to have a little bit of makeup on or whatever and have your hair done up nice and and that type thing, so you look like you're really first-class representative of whatever it is you're representing as you approach the door and they see you coming. Number two, hair. Men should have a nice haircut, be well-shaven. If they wear a beard or a mustache, be sure it is clean and trimmed. Ladies, keep your hair neat and in place. It can be difficult on windy or rainy days, but try your best. It'd also be nice if you wash your hair once in a while, too. All right, shoes. Believe it or not, people look at shoes. It's one of the first things they look at, and they make a judgment. Shoes should be clean. If they are the type that can be polished, they should be. People look at shoes. Unless you are just stepping in, such as for bus visitation, offer to take off your shoes whenever you go into a home. Say something like, "Would you like me to take off my shoes? I don't mind." And then start taking off your shoes. Don't wait for an answer. Or, "Let me take off my shoes for a few minutes so I don't drag any dirt in the house." People will appreciate that. I know we were just up in a house in Hamburg a few weeks ago, and the first thing we did is they said, "Oh, yeah, come on in." And I think Jim was with me, and he said, "Well, here, let me take my shoes off right here, and then we'll come in," and they let us. And when we went in there, it was a very clean house. People are very particular about that. And so just presume you should take off your shoes when you get the opportunity to go into a house. Now, if they say something authoritatively like, "Oh, don't worry about it, you can leave them on," then you can leave them on. All right, when the weather's nice, I always just wear shoes like this where I can just slip them on and off just that fast. If I'm going out on visitation, I have a few pair like that. So if I can, I try to do that. And then it's nothing, it's no inconvenience, but people are funny about their houses. And so check your appearance before you go out. B, have a partner. Have a partner. There may be some dangers or compromising situations that you can avoid by not going out alone. Have a partner. Jesus sent his servants out two by two. Mark 7, verse 6 and verse 7 says, "And he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits." Luke 10:1. "And these things the Lord after these things the Lord appointed others 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come." So notice in the first year of his ministry he sent out 12 two by two. The second year he sent out 70 other also, two by two. So now he's got 82 men going out in 2 years, two by two. So that's 41 teams of men the Lord has sent out now, two by two. So have a partner. Now, by the way, another good reason to have a partner is not only that you'll be able to avoid some dangers or compromising situations, but also so that you can be in the process of trying to train somebody. Train somebody else so they can observe you as you're trying to be a witness for Christ. And so go out two by two. Now see, have a time. Have a time. I'm on page two. Everybody should have this booklet right here. If you don't, raise your hand. Meet with your partner on Sunday. This is a good point right here. And decide when you will be going out that week. It is important to be a soul winner all week. But it is also important to have a designated time sanctified solely to the cause of trying to share the gospel. Jesus implied this in truth of going and preaching. We'll look at some verses here in a moment, but I want to encourage you to schedule some time when you can go. Things get done when they are scheduled. All right? Things get done when they're scheduled. And right about here, there's always some sanctimonious person that says, "Well, I just think somebody should be a soul winner all the time, everywhere they go." So do I, and I don't know anybody in this church who doesn't think that. I don't know one person who doesn't believe that. But when you schedule something, okay, we schedule church attendance on Wednesday night. What if we just said, just show up whenever you feel like, whenever you feel led by the Spirit of God, just come to church. What do you think would happen? Do you think our church is stronger because we schedule times for meetings? Or if we just say, well, just let the Holy Spirit lead you whenever you want to come to church. No, it's stronger because we schedule a time. We schedule Sunday morning, Sunday school, and Sunday nights, and training hour, and Wednesday nights. And because we schedule a time, we get more people out, I'm sure, for meetings than if we said, now, just whatever the Holy Spirit leads you now, you come to church whenever the Holy Ghost leads you. Now, our God is for decency and an order, right? I find people pray better who schedule a time for prayer in their life. People get through the Bible reading when they schedule a time. People study their Bible when they schedule a time. And it's the same thing with soul winning. You will be a better soul winner when you schedule time. Maybe Thursday night with the ladies, 6:30, 10 o'clock Saturday morning, with the men such as we have in our church. And I know people have the fear, well, they're just going to go out for 2 or 3 hours and not talk to anybody else the rest of the week. Well, that's not right, but it's not wrong either. Thank God for people who schedule time to go out and talk to the Lord. I believe this is implied in the following verses. Matthew 11:1. It came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Notice that he had a plan. Mark 1:38. And he said unto them, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. Mark 3:14, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him and that he might send them forth to preach. Luke 9:2, and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Notice he sent them. He says, okay, here it is. Here's what you're going to do. When you get to such and such a town, do this and this and this and this. Okay, go. He sent them. So I believe these verses imply that they were sent by special orders and at special times for the Lord. Now, I agree, too, that we all ought to be soul winners and have a soul-winning spirit all week long. And I can't think of one person I have ever met who doesn't agree with that. But, boy, when you just schedule a time, I'll tell you, there's just things that just seem to happen during that scheduled time. D, meet at a set place and have prayer. Pray for such things as power, wisdom, for any questions that may come up, boldness or confidence in the truth, safety, and for the people you see to be saved. And you might want to add to this list things like love. Pray that God will give you love for the people you're going to meet, faith to believe this is what God wants you to do, and it's his plan to go forth into all the world and preach the gospel. And then E, go out. Go out. You should neither wait on nor expect the pastor to give you calls or provide a soul-winning program for you. Now, that's good if he does. We'll get to that in a minute. But do it because the Lord said to do it. Get with your partner on Sunday and say, okay, what day? Maybe you can't make the men's visitation on Sunday morning. Maybe you can go out late Saturday afternoon. And you can say, well, let's go out at 4 o'clock on Saturday, or whatever it is. But schedule a time with your partner. And don't, you know, you just, I've stressed this several times in the past. When you get to the judgment seat of Christ, if the Lord says, how come you were not faithful with the gospel? Do you think he's really going to accept this as an excuse? Well, the pastor never gave me any calls to go on. How many of you really think he's going to accept that? Well, the pastor never provided me with a soul-winning program or maps on how to get to people's houses. Now, we did try to do some of those things, okay, but that's not going to fly on that day. We ought to just do it because the Lord said to do it and find a partner and go. Now, where to go? Well, number one, door to door. Just pick a street and start knocking on doors, and we'll get in a little bit later and what to say. Number two, people, pastor asked you to call on, but please do not wait for that to happen. But there may be, for instance, some ladies that I don't feel comfortable going with another man to see. We might need some ladies to go and see them. But again, don't wait around till the judgment day for those cards or something. Go to hospitals, nursing homes. I know they're trying to do that with the ladies. And you can go door to door in nursing homes and sometimes hospitals. Busy streets, as we do in the summer, especially the teens do this. With the festivals, we also go to fairs, but anywhere there's a busy street, somebody can pass out tracts or see if that'll open up opportunities. Number five, new church members. We've had several church members, I think about four here, not church attenders rather, about four I think in the last month who have actually been counseled with after the service was over. Somebody shared the gospel with them, but they did not receive Christ as their Savior. They weren't quite ready. Somebody needs to go back and follow up on those people. Number six, people who haven't been to church in a while. You know, as you look around, sometimes you say, hey, you know, I haven't seen Brother So-and-so in about 6 weeks or Sister So-and-so in about 4 weeks. You may be the only person in the church thinking about that person. You may be the only one here who has had that person pop into your mind. That is the Holy Spirit telling you to make a contact. Call that person, go by that person's house, have that person over for dinner or something. And I think all of us, if we just went silent for about 30 seconds right now, I think every one of us in this room would start to think of people that we haven't seen around in a while. And that would be the Holy Spirit prompting you to make a visit. Pastor Cole may be so busy with other people and getting sermons ready and so on and so forth that he hasn't thought of those people either. And you know what they're doing, a lot of them? They're sitting at home thinking what? There's not a person in that church cares about me. Not one. And these are things we can't procrastinate on. You know, instead of watching television at night, get out the phone and call that person saying, how are you doing, brother? Now, you may get an earful, all right, but be man or woman enough to take it and say, well, listen, you know, we're not perfect, we're not that bad, but why don't you come help make us better? Or maybe the person's just sick. I remember one guy that hadn't been in church in a couple of months, and I got all a bad spirit about him. And I said, that's it, I'm sick of this guy. This was a long time ago. We were just probably going back 20 years. I said, I'm sick of this guy. I've been over backwards to help this guy, and he never comes to church, and he just comes once in a blue moon. I quit. And turns out, you know, finally his wife called me and said that he really, really hurt his back at work, and he was laid up for several months, and I felt guilty then that I had made such a wrong judgment about him. So sometimes you just don't know. Number seven, the whole world. Somebody once said this, there is no wrong place to take the gospel. You might want to write that in your book somewhere. There is no wrong place to take the gospel. There's no wrong place to take the gospel. And the number F, or letter F, watch out for fellowship. Now notice I got fellowship in quotes here. A lot of fellowship that some people call fellowship is not fellowship. Notice a problem we all have. I'm first one with my hand up. The problem the Bible says we all have. James 3:10, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. While with your partner, resist the temptation to say negative things about other people or the church. Keep your focus on souls. Do not gossip, slander, backbite, or whisper. Leave your problems at home. This is not a time to dump your problems on your partner. This is a time to rescue the perishing. Here's another statement I borrowed from someone. The worst day in a believer's life is better than the best day in a lost person's eternity. So I don't care if you're right on the brink of divorce. Leave that home. while you're out trying to rescue souls from going to hell. They have a bigger problem than you've got. They've got a bigger problem than you've got. And you've got to someday just be a man, be a woman, and just leave your problems behind and all the things you're going through and your battles and so on. You've got to leave it behind and say, this person has got a far greater problem than I have because I'm saved. And all this is going to come to pass for me. But it's never going to end for them. And someday you just got to just get with it and get over those things. Only speak what is good for edifying. Talk about your soul winning and how you can improve. For instance, sometimes when you're going out, you're in a car, and you're in a car maybe for a mile or two between this call or this call. And boy, you got to watch what you're saying during those times. You can quench the Holy Ghost if you start saying bad things about someone else or the pastor or the church or whatever. And the Holy Spirit can leave you in the sense of His power, and the rest of the morning could be a waste of time or whenever you're out visiting. Talk about soul winning. When you leave a home, share with your partner what you were trying to do or maybe what you should have done or what you should have said. Maybe a question came up and you know you say, oh, you know what I should have said was this, or how do you think I handled that? How do you think my gospel presentation was? Always be seeking to improve. Keep your mind and passion on the lost. Think of hell and how you might be the only one who will ever cross paths with these people. We are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. And just think, really, as you approach the home, just think how privileged these people are. Privileged most people in the world never have to have an ambassador for Jesus Christ approach them personally. They do not understand how blessed they are. To have that when so many countries are without missionaries and churches and soul winners. And so that's what you need to do, is go with that kind of confidence to the door and say, I'm an ambassador for Jesus Christ. These people don't know it, but they're privileged to have us come to their home to share the gospel with them. G, be prepared. Take with you the King James 1611 New Testament. Try to conceal it. It's hard in the summertime sometimes, but perhaps in your back pocket, or if you have a suit on or a jacket, sometimes there's jackets with pockets on the inside in your purse, ladies. It is best not to have anything in your hands unless you're carrying flyers for the bus ministry or for some special day. If people see you coming with something in your hand, they may think you're a salesman and will take a defensive posture. If they see a Bible, they might think you're a religious nut. They really will. People just don't walk around with them much in public. Number two, tracts. Carry good gospel tracts in your shirt pocket. Now make sure they have the gospel in them. Some tracts out there are so shallow that I don't think a person could get saved reading them. Make sure it's a good gospel tract. I believe we've tried to produce some really good gospel tracts. If they are old, bent, soiled, or folded, throw them out. We live in a day when packaging and image means everything. We must pass out nice gospel tracts. They are inexpensive, so only give out ones in good condition. Now take a paper for notes, for instance, 3x5 cards, because you might make 6 or 7 calls and you might want to leave the person's house, and let's say there's something you want to remember, their first name or something like that, and you're afraid you're going to forget it after 7 calls, drive down the road a little ways out of sight, pull over and write down that information. Okay, don't go out in the driveway and start writing things down. You can look out like, well, what's he doing? But sometimes it helps, you know. Maybe you made the person a promise. Maybe they say they had a question about some subject, and you said, you know, I remember that there was a sermon on that, or I remember there's a booklet in our church about that. And hey, I'll get that to you. You might want to write that down, or the lady's name, Geraldine, something. You know you're going to forget it, and the address, and the three kids' names, and so on. And you might want to just jot that down for your own prayer and follow-up. Pen or pencil, number five, breath mints. Watch your breath. Presume it is bad, all right? Just presume your breath is bad. And pop breath mints all the time you're going out. And then take number six, addresses of visits and an appropriate map book. Or we have on the computers here at church, MapQuest. And if you know where you're going to go, for instance, I do have to make a call up in Lackawanna on a street Saturday, Lord willing, called Swigert. I looked in my map book, no Swigert. And so I gave it to Pastor Seth. I said, see if this is on MapQuest. There it is. It tells you right how to get there. It's a tiny little road, you know, about that big. And a person came to the church a few weeks ago and lives on that road. And without MapQuest, I'd have never found it. And so if you know ahead of time, you can get those things made with that program. What an advantage that gives us nowadays. By the way, you might want to write this down under number six. Stick to one area. Stick to one area. You know, don't go to Lackawanna to make a visit and then have one in North Collins and then have one in Springville, you know, and then have one in Evans, all right? Or you're going to spend a half an hour between each call. Find three or four visits in Lackawanna if you're going there. Or if you only have one or two, then maybe on the way back, grab a couple bags and some addresses for Hamburg. And I believe Pastor Seth puts all the maps on there so you know right where to go. And so make those visits, and then if you have one of those days where three straight people aren't home, and the next thing you know, you're a half hour, you're done, then on your way back through, you can say, well, let's try to deliver some of these gift bags to people who have just bought homes and see if we can strike up a conversation. All right, H, have a plan. Decide ahead of time who will be the silent partner. This will be discussed more next week. And who will speak. If you have an idea of who you will be visiting, discuss what may be expected and how to handle various problems. Okay? You know, you might be going to somebody and say, look, this guy's lost and he really doesn't appreciate Christians at all, but his wife wanted us to come and see him. And, you know, or this guy, you know, I know one fellow I've visited half a dozen times so far, and I said, this guy is a nice guy, but his son was killed by a drunk driver. He's very bitter at God, but I believe that he's open. He's opening up, and I just want you to know that that's going to come up. And you know, so it might be good if you know something to explain, or maybe you got a call and you say, okay, this person visited our church 3 weeks ago. And, you know, share that with your partner so they're not left out in the blue. Like, who are you? Approaching the house, let's close with this. Be careful when you park your car or walk. Do not park or walk over grass. Use sidewalks or driveways. Often you'll find that the yard and driveway are very important to people. Be considerate of these. If your car leaks oil or fluids, park your car by the road and walk up to the house. All right, especially if you're in well-to-do neighborhoods or something. People got their manicured lawns and driveways and so on and so forth. You want to be careful about that. But we'll pick up from there. Now put your name on your booklet, put it in your Bible, and make sure you bring it back next Wednesday, because these kind of things, and we'll get into the approaching the house, but these generalities themselves will help you be a little bit more successful than if you didn't know the information that has been shared tonight. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight and for all who made it out safely. We ask for safety going home. We pray that you'd help us through these hard winter months, yet to be faithful. Thank you for the men that went out Saturday. And Lord, I remember just standing there freezing, talking to that fellow Gary. But what a great conversation we were able to have with him. And thy word says that he that regardeth the wind shall not sow. Lord, So help us not to be stopped by the weather, but to just be faithful. And bless the seed we sow, God, use us. Lord, you've given us so many, even first-time attenders and new blood already this year. It's a blessing. Help us in following up on them. Help us in winning lost. Help us to be good ambassadors for Jesus Christ. We pray this all in your precious name. Amen.